So the novelist and theologian and poet G.K. Chesterton, who was not much of a fan of journalism, once said that journalism consists in telling people that Lord Jones has died who never knew that Lord Jones was alive. And if, in fact, you read the obituaries, that's very much what they're like. You read about somebody who you didn't even know was alive. And you go, oh my God, I didn't know that he was alive. And then you realize, of course, that he no longer is. And you recognize why the Jewish tradition, for most of its history, didn't celebrate anniversaries, it just commemorated yahrzeits. Because it's only when someone's life has ended that you can really make a summation of it. When someone celebrates a birthday, you may be celebrating possibility, but when someone passes away, it's a time to mark achievement. I bring this all up because this morning we read about two very important deaths, the death of Sarah and the death of Abraham. And I know that we've read about them before, every year, but I'm mindful of what Heschel used to say about the Akedah, the binding of Isaac. He used to tell the story of a school child who was sitting in the cheder in school. And again, they were reading the story of the binding of Isaac, and Abraham and Isaac go up to the mountain, and Abraham lifts up the knife, and the child was terrified. And his friend said to him, "What's the matter? We read this last year. We know how this comes out. We know that Isaac's not actually going to die." And the teacher said, "No, that's exactly how you're supposed to read it. You should come to the stories of the Torah as if you've read them many times before and as if they're entirely new." So what if this morning, for the first time, we read that Abraham died? And now we have to give his obituary. What is the legacy of Abraham? In part good, by the way, and in part bad, because one of the things that every rabbi knows is when you ask a family about someone who's passed away, sooner or later you have to say, okay, tell me his flaws. Don't only tell me the good, give me the picture of an entire person. We read in this morning's Parsha, in fact, Uverech Avraham Bakol, God blessed Abraham with everything, and that means good and bad, because we don't believe in perfect people, not in our tradition. So what was Abraham's legacy? At least one way of looking at it is that Abraham's legacy was a legacy of not looking. Abraham didn't pay attention to what you could see in this world, since he was so focused on the reality of the unseen. Remember how God first comes to him and says, "Lech lecha me'artzecha u'mimoladcha u'mibeit avicha." Go from your house, from your father's house, from the place you were born, from the place you know where. El ha'aretz asher areka, to a place I'm going to show you, but you can't see it yet. So Abraham begins his journey in search of the unseen. By the way, that same phrase recurs in the Akedah. God says, go to this place I'm going to show you, but he doesn't get to see it. Not for a long time. And then Abraham goes out into the world. And he's got to proclaim to the world the reality of what you can't see. Remember the story that the rabbis tell about how he came to the idea of God with his father? What does he do? He smashes all of his father's idols. What did Abraham have against the idols? There was only one thing that was wrong with them. You could see them. And because you could see them, Abraham didn't believe they could be God. In fact, the second story that the rabbis tell about Abraham's belief in God is almost identical in this theme. In the morning, he saw the sun and he said, the sun must be God. And in the evening, he saw the moon and said, the moon must be God. And then he realized that that wasn't possible, because that which you can't see must be less real than that which you can't see. And so Abraham went off in search of the intangible, That's what you couldn't see. Remember the sin of Lot's wife? Abraham's family. The one member of Abraham's family who's put to death is Lot's wife. Why? What does she do? She looks. God says, don't look. You're not supposed to see this. You're supposed to believe and trust in some things that you can't see, that you can't measure, that you can't touch, that you can't taste, that are intangible. And that becomes then the legacy of Abraham's life. What does he do in this morning's parsha? The one piece of land that Abraham buys in the land of Israel is precisely a piece of land that you can't really see, which is a cave. Nobody sees a cave. You can see a field, but you can't see a cave. Makes a nice contrast with Plato's cave, right? The cave of the philosopher is all about seeing. Plato says the problem is that most people only see the shadows from the cave, but the true philosopher can actually see what's going on. But not only does Abraham buy a cave where you can't see, but he buys it, of course, for Sarah, who is moving on to the world that we cannot see. This happens again and again and again in Abraham's life, and it is his legacy because Abraham wants people to believe that the reality of the unseen is much more powerful than the reality of the seen, and that all of this is secondary, that God comes first. And we're born out of that intangible reality. And the problem that we have with it is we're so dominated by our senses. And the better we get at making things, the more our senses take over. And people believe that only if you build or you create or you experiment or you can see something in a microscope or a telescope can it be real. And that is exactly the mentality that Abraham came into the world to argue against. He goes down to Egypt, presaging the slavery in Egypt years later. And what is Egypt about? Egypt is about huge monuments, pyramids, sphinxes, even cities of the dead. Even the world of the intangible in Egypt is made tangible. But that's not what we believe. That's not what Judaism came into the world to proclaim. It was that everything that is material matters less. That's why we have a Shabbat. Because the material world is dominated by commerce, by getting and taking and spending, so there should be a day on which you don't do that, on which you believe in the intangible, in which you don't buy things and you don't make things and you don't increase the substance of what you can see in the world, but you spend a day thinking about what you can't see, what you can feel, but what you can't see. The great Hasidic rabbi, Rabbi Simcha Bunim, one of the greatest of the Hasidic masters, the teacher of the Kotzker Rebbe, among others, later in his life went blind. And his students and his disciples kept encouraging him to see a doctor. And you know what he said to them? He said, I can see everything I need to see. I wonder who among us would make that sort of declaration. But the intangible was so real to him. It was so immediate that he could see everything he needed to see. Now, of course, we live in this world, and we are all moving around with things and bodies and sight in a tangible world. So what becomes of a visionary like Abraham when he has to live in a tangible world? First of all, remember I told you I was going to say the good and the bad. One of the things that happens to someone like Abraham is sometimes he overlooks the reality of the people around him. Remember, this is Abraham who twice passed his wife off as his sister and who brings his child up to the mountain to be sacrificed and who, although reluctantly, throws his other child out of the house. Being a member of Abraham's family was no picnic. Abraham always had his eye fixed on eternity, didn't always pay such attention to the people around him. But one of the things that God taught Abraham was that the intangible can be made real. It just takes the promise of the future. In fact, this is exactly what the rabbis say. Ezehu chacham, who is wise? Haro'eh et hanolad. And there are two translations to that. One is someone who sees the future. But a nicer translation, in a way, is nolad comes from the word to give birth. Who is wise? One who sees what he or she is giving birth to, what you're creating. So what does Abraham do in this morning's parsha? As soon as Sarah dies, he does two things. He buys a piece of land in Israel, even though he will never see the people inherit their land. But he knows, he sees with his inner eye, that the intangible, that is God, will make this tangible reality. One day, Israel will inherit the land. He knows that, even though he will never see it. And the second thing he does is he gets his child married off, just as our bat mitzvah told us this morning. In other words, he's creating a people and he's securing a land. Two very tangible things, and yet he will never see the people and he will never see them take the land. But Abraham believes in the intangible, first of all in God, and second of all in the future. It's very easy to despair when you see what happens in the world. Sometimes the facts, the tangible things, can lead us to sadness and to despair. This very week, even though the headlines in the newspaper said terrorist attack on the United States foiled, you and I know that the accurate headline would be terrorist attack on United States Jews foiled. Because those packages, as you know, were bound for Jewish institutions in Chicago. Sometimes, if you only look at the tangible facts, it is easy to despair. But that's the legacy of Abraham Avinu. That you have to believe in what you can't see, or better, what you can't see yet. In the promise of what will be, even though we haven't gotten there. In the reality of God, who is beyond anything we can see or touch. Remember how Abraham's name is changed. What is he made? He's made a father. Avram becomes Avraham, the father of a people. And it is the legacy of a parent to give something intangible to his or her children. And that's what Abraham gave us. A covenant which you cannot see, a promise which you cannot touch, a God who is beyond imagining. This morning, Sarah and Abraham pass away. But you know, as with everyone who is truly great, unlike most people who only have their influence when they're alive, Abraham's influence was relatively small when he was alive. But his influence was incalculable after he died. He left us the legacy of something we cannot see. And that's what the Jewish people gave to the world. That we believe in what we can't show you. And that's why, unlike all those nations that were tied to the material, which passes away, we are still here. You know, In the Torah class this week, I told people that I had read an interview with a woman who works, of all things, as an anthropologist for the New York City Sanitation Department. She studies garbage for a living. And you know how she opened the interview? She said, "Look around you. Everything you see, everything, sooner or later, will be garbage. Everything. And that's why I study it. Because everything turns to garbage." And I thought, anybody who puts their faith in material, ultimately, at the end of time, is putting their faith in garbage. And only a people that believes in something greater, something transcendent, something taught to us by Avraham Avinu and Sarah Imenu, only such a people will endure. We don't believe in what passes away. We believe in what lasts forever. Shabbat Shalom.